Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Allison, did you hear about the statistician who stuck his head in a stove and his feet in a bucket of ice?
Oh, no. What happened?
On average, he felt just fine.
Oh, yeah. So, welcome to the Stuff from the Science Lab. This is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
And we bring to you that joke, Compliments of Terry, in Grass Valley, California.
Yep, that's my wife's aunt, actually.
Yeah. You're soliciting jokes from your wife's aunt?
Well, I solicited everybody, and she's a listener to the podcast. So,
thanks, Aunt Terry.
Yeah. Let's get right to the topic here. We're talking about
Diamonds. And whether they're a scientist's best friend.
Right. And now you already have a diamond, right?
I do.
You're, of course, married. And
let's just stop that assumption right there. You know, of course, you know that you don't have to get a diamond
right,
when you're married.
Right.
And yes, I am, in fact, married. But I mean, you know, it could
there,
be something else.
Yeah, there
else.
Are other ways.
Yes.
But I do see a diamond on your hand right now. So
yes.
I know you have a diamond.
Yeah. Well, it could be a really good fake, right?
It could be. That's yes. Yes, certainly. And we're about to get into that. Like, basically, let's go ahead and hit exactly what we're going to hit. Some really cool diamonds in this particular podcast.
Yeah,
we're not going to just
some
talk
out of this world diamonds.
Yeah, some real spacey diamonds and diamonds that like live in the jungle. It's going to be great. But to really understand why these are awesome, we do have to hit the basics.
Yeah, diamond formation.
Yeah. So a diamond, as awesome as it may look in the store or on a finger or whatever, is just carbon in its most concentrated form. All right.
Right.
You remember how Superman could like squeeze like a lump of coal and make it into a diamond?
Yes.
That's it. That's the basics of it. All right. Carbon is one of the most common elements in the world.
Right. You guys know this?
Yep. It's in the air all around us. It's in our bodies. Like we're 18% carbon. You know, so it's everywhere. Commonly, the Earth has not squeezed us into a shiny, beautiful crystal. Diamonds form about 100 miles below the Earth's surface in the molten rock of the Earth's mantle.
Yeah.
Right? And this is where you find the right amounts of pressure and heat to transform the carbon. In order for a diamond to be created, carbon has to be placed under at least 435,113 pounds per square inch of pressure at a temperature of at least 752 degrees Fahrenheit. So those are, that's the recipe if you're planning to cook one up at home.
Right. And so if conditions drop below either of these two points, graphite, no diamond.
Stuck with graphite. Nobody wants a graphite ring.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Most diamonds that we see today were formed millions, if not billions, of years ago.
Yeah, they're carried up to the surface through powerful magma eruptions, and they can also form when meteorites crash into things.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and
you have all that metal and heat and
It's like metal, heat, you know, pressure, and you get that. You can also get this in a laboratory, and that's because everybody's heard of cubic zirconium, and this is just a laboratory gem, and these have been on the market since like 1976. And laboratories just basically simulate the heat and pressure from the Earth's mantle that create natural diamonds.
So you know what I heard?
What'd you hear?
I heard that there's a trend in weddings, you know, because we do the TLC weddings.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of articles for that. And I heard that if you can't afford a ring, then maybe you get a cubic zirconium, like, placeholder kind of thing when you propose. And then when you can afford it, you work up to the diamond.
Well, that's a very honest way of doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I'm of the mind that I think, you know, cubic zirconium looks pretty good.
Now, did you get your wife a diamond ring?
They were diamonds that were already in the family.
Ah, okay.
Reset,
so it's an heirloom.
Ring. Yeah.
That's cool. Just wondered.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how we did it. And now, this is pretty interesting. Over at the Ig Nobel Prizes, they in the past few years, they've given honors to scientists from the University of Mexico, the National Autonomous University of Mexico.
Interesting.
For creating diamonds out of 80-proof tequila.
Well, it's not really diamonds, but diamond films, right?
Right, yeah. But
so what they did here was they're evaporating the tequila and then they're heating the vapor above 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit before depositing it on silicon or stainless steel trays. And so the films that they wound up with were between 100 to 400 nanometers in diameter and free of impurities.
Yeah, they're hard, they're heat resistant, and this is the key thing. They have a number of commercial applications, such as cutting tools,
right?
Optical electronic devices. In researching this, I ran across like some sort of weird experiment where like cutting into a mouse's brain with a special, like, surgical kind of tool that's made from diamond.
You can't see me, but I'm cocking my head looking at Robert like, what?
It was really weird. I was like, I ended up not using it, but yet I'm bringing it up. But still, another big thing, oil rigs use diamonds in the drill bits as well. So, and also it has since it is a real good thermal conductor, it's going to be really useful in semiconductors and computers of the future and all.
So the interesting thing about this University of Mexico research that I thought was, well, how would they come up with the idea of using tequila and diamonds? How do those two things really go together? And so they noticed that tequila, 80-proof tequila, had the ideal proportion of ethanol to water to create these diamond films.
Okay. Or they were drinking a little tequila, and they're like, I bet you can make a diamond out of this.
Is that what you guys do in the lab? Drink tequila after your work is done? Tell us. We want to know.
So those are the basics of how diamonds are made, how they can be made here on Earth. But they can also be made elsewhere in the galaxy.
With giant cosmic diamonds.
Yeah. Now, here on Earth, do you know what the largest diamond is?
I don't.
Like the largest like cut kind of diamond that has like a name and is so...
I would have said the Hope Diamond.
No, apparently it is the Golden Jubilee, and that is a 546-carat deal. It looks kind of fits in the palm of your hand, and is currently owned by the King of Thailand, and it was presented to him for his 50th anniversary of his coronation in 97. But that's nothing. I mean,
yeah.
It's great if you live
what
on Earth.
What do you have to rival Golden Jubilee?
Oh, not rival, but surpass in ways that can't
trample.
Even be measured. Yes, you completely trample. It's like, that's just a trinket compared to this. And this is BPM 37093.
Oh, that's a really great name for a diamond.
It's a white dwarf is what it is. And it's also known as Lucy, as in Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
That's nice.
Yeah, and it's 50 light years away.
And about 4,000 kilometers across.
Yep.
And here's how much it weighs. It weighs 5 million trillion trillion pounds.
And those, both of those trillions are supposed to be there. That was not a flub.
I did wonder if you made an error on that one.
No, and it would, if it were measured in carats. Well, real quick, the whole weight thing is because it's like super dense. So mm-hmm. that's why it weighs so much, even though it's relatively small for that weight. But then if you were to put that in carats, this would be a 10 billion trillion trillion carat diamond.
Again with the trillion trillion. Yeah. So we're talking some mad carats.
I love it when people throw in the extra, like, I think Cormac McCarthy's always talking like looking up into like a million, million stars, or like anytime you can throw like an extra million in there, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And it's actually a number. So this is a pulsating white dwarf. It's a burnout star of the CC Zeti variety.
Okay.
If that means anything to you, and most people it won't, but that's its technical classification. And it's primarily carbon and oxygen with a thin layer of hydrogen and helium. And it's massive enough to have undergone partial crystallization. In fact, we're talking upwards of 90% of it has crystallized, according to some astronomical studies.
So the question here is, how can we tell that it's a diamond? You know, how did they know?
Well, yeah, they didn't like just look in the catalog or see it on somebody's finger. It's the white dwarf undergoes pulsations, all right? And scientists are able to study these pulsations in a similar way that we study seismographic measurements of terrestrial earthquakes.
Right.
And that gives us an idea of what's happening in the interior.
Okay.
All right.
So they think the carbon interior of this particular white dwarf has solidified to form the galaxy's largest diamond.
Right. That's what the theories are saying. Certainly nobody's traveled there, and we don't know 100% for sure. But
well, wait until after they hear this podcast. We might have some jewel thieves like hightailing it.
Yeah. They've got a ways to go. They're going to have to really hot rod something. But yeah, this is like, I mean, it's just kind of staggers. You can't help but think of like a little person like riding it through the cosmos, you know? I mean, that's enormous. 5 million trillion trillion pounds of diamond. You know, it hasn't been cut yet or it certainly hasn't been set in anything, but that's enormous. And they're saying it's probably like one of the biggest in at least the observable universe. Then there have been other ideas that like Jupiter might have like a giant diamond in its core. And that's kind of, you know.
Right, some of the gas giants in our solar system.
Yeah, and that's kind of up in the air.
It's not as exciting as that other diamond.
It's not as exciting, and nobody really knows for certain about it yet.
Well, that's because most of the chemical research involving diamonds in our solar system so far has really dealt with microdiamonds, right?
Yeah.
The microdiamonds found in asteroids and, you know, then meteors and meteorites. So these are created in the high heat and pressure of the collisions, which create these little tiny microdiamonds or rocky fragments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But luckily there might be something within our solar system that is just as fantastic as a enormous, star diamond.
Yeah.
And that is the idea of, get this, all right, imagine this in your head if you can. It sounds like an Asia album cover or something. But an ocean of liquid diamond filled with solid diamond icebergs. All right, floating under like the Neptunian sky.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that crazy? And yet there's some interesting studies that say this might actually be what the case is.
Right, and it's not just on Neptune, too. It's don't they also postulate that it might be on Uranus?
Yes, possibly on Uranus as well. 2010 study out of Livermore National Laboratory in Livermore, California, published in Nature Physics. And basically it comes down to this. We've melted diamonds in the lab. It sounds kind of crazy. But
why would you melt a diamond?
Well, it's science. Prove you can do it, right? but no.
I know some brides who would be highly upset at that prospect.
If you bring a diamond melter to a wedding, that's just so poor taste. But a diamond is incredibly hard material, and it's very difficult to melt.
Right.
But it's also difficult to melt in that if you melt a diamond, it's hard to keep it a diamond, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll end up with graphite or something, you know? So they have to go through a certain rigmarole just to make sure that it melts in the right way.
Right. So what happens is researchers blasted a diamond.
It's like a small diamond, nothing with a name
okay.
on it or a curse.
So researchers blasted this small diamond with lasers at ultra high pressures like those found on gas giants like
Neptune and Uranus. Yeah.
Right. Right.
And, the scientists liquefied the diamond at pressures 40 million times greater than what you'd find standing at sea level on Earth.
Whoa, that's some serious pressure.
Yep. and they were slowly reduced. Then they slowly reduced the temperature and pressure. And when the pressure dropped to about 11 million times the atmospheric pressure at sea level here on Earth, and the temperature dropped to about 50,000 degrees, guess what happened?
Chunks of diamond.
Yep, began to appear in it, little islands of diamond, liquid diamond. I mean, this is really hard for me to even imagine like this in my head.
But, you know, the best image I have right now, I'm trying to sum it up, some fabulous, you know, kind of pirate treasure, mm-hmm. you know, gold medallions, you know, treasure chests open. But I keep on thinking of the Goonies. Did you ever see that? When they get to the end, you know, and uh-huh. there's like the ships with all like the treasure all around and, you know, the fabulous jewels and stuff. That's the best I can come up with here as far as a visual of a diamond ocean.
Yeah, it's just completely, I mean, otherworldly. You know, so
now that I've talked about the Goonies, let's get back to diamonds.
Yeah. But the other thing is that the chunks of diamond didn't sink. They floated in this mm-hmm. diamond ocean. And they think that this could actually help explain some of like the weird stuff going on with the magnetic field there.
Yep.
The magnetic and geographic poles on Uranus and Neptune don't really match up. In fact, they can be up to like 60 degrees off. Off the north-south axis.
So to put that in perspective, if Earth's magnetic field were that far off, it would place the magnetic North Pole in Texas instead of off a Canadian island. And what researchers think might be possible is that a swirling ocean of liquid diamond could be responsible for the discrepancy.
Yeah.
Well, so if you think about it, up to 10% of Uranus and Neptune is estimated to be made from carbon. So a huge ocean of liquid diamond in the right place could deflect or otherwise skew the magnetic field out of alignment with the rotation of the planet.
Huh.
Yeah, Discovery News had a story about that.
Yeah, they did. And it's also important to keep in mind, we're talking about gas planets here, but there is a lot of liquid in them as well. It's not like just gas. And then there's, you know, the possibility of like something solid at the center. Not a diamond necessarily, but, something solid. So, yeah, I was just really blown away by that, finding about that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But now it's time to bring it back down to Earth for our last little diamond story in this diamond smorgasbord we're going through here. And this creature is pretty amazing. It's an inch-long iridescent weevil, not a weasel, but a weevil, like an insect, named do you want to take a shot at this one?
Sure. I will. Lamprocyphus augustus.
Yeah. And it's native to Brazil, and you can look up pictures of it online, and it does look amazing. It's like sparkly and green, like it's just... It seems to sort of shine with its own energy, but otherwise
it's kind of like a bling weevil.
Yeah, it's like weevil bling going on in the Amazon rainforest.
So a bunch of University of Utah chemists were pretty fascinated with this particular beetle, and they found out that the beetle glows iridescent green because it has a crystal structure in its scales that's like the crystal structure of diamonds.
Right, and. The cool thing is they think that this is an ideal structure, like an ideal architecture for what's called photonic crystals that can be used to manipulate visual light in ultra-fast optical computers in the future. So you know what we're talking about with the tequila diamonds, like being able to use those little
the diamond films.
The diamond films in computing. Like they're talking about like basically they went out into the jungles and they were like, whoa, nature, as always, is, you know, light years ahead of us on this one, and they already have, like, some really cool stuff that we could utilize. Now, really cool stuff we could utilize in design. We couldn't actually harvest, iridescent weevils and use their scales because these are made out of chitin, like your fingernail, all right? So they wouldn't hold up enough for long-term use. You'd have to you'd go through weevil after weevil, you know, just checking your email, I guess, in the future.
Right. That's no good for the weevils.
But the idea is to copy it, you know,
right.
biomimicry. Yeah.
And all together now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting when you look at these pictures, the weevil looks green, but its sparkling green color is actually produced by the crystal structures of its scales, not any kind of pigment or anything. Yeah. Each scale measures like 200 microns and long and about like 100 microns wide. And to put that in a little perspective, like a human hair is about 100 microns thick. So these are tiny little things. It's not like the thing. It doesn't look like it's studded with green diamonds. And green light, which has a wavelength of about 500 to 550 nanometers, it can't penetrate the scale's crystal structure. So it acts like a mirror and reflects the green light and makes it appear to, you know, anybody looking at it, to be just iridescently green.
I would like to see one of these. I think I might have to go look it up when we are finished with podcasting.
Yeah, the photos are amazing, but I mean, it's one of those things I'd like to see, yeah, physically, and like, so you can sort of like move your head around it and sort of get a, you know, 360 on it and watch the light moving, because it just sounds like it would look magical.
Yeah, we should get one for the office.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably spring for that. An infestation of them. You know, throw one in the laptops. Maybe they'd run faster, right? So that's just another, another example of diamonds in the universe, or diamond-like structures in the universe, and one that you're probably not going to pay, you know, out the nose for. If you were, you know, if you were to travel the Amazon jungle, I'm betting one of these bugs would be cheaper than your more, high market diamonds.
Yeah, so it seems like diamonds aren't only a girl's best friend; they may be a scientist's best friend, or at least they may provide some impetus for some interesting research. And that's
whether you're drilling for oil or cutting into a mouse's brain.
So if you have thoughts on diamonds and want to share them with us, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com or check out the homepage. We have articles on diamonds. In fact, there's a good one about diamond heists.
Yeah, and we also have one. I think our diamond article itself goes into blood diamonds quite a bit, and conflict diamonds. And I can't even begin to tell you what all they have on the TLC section of the
site. Check out TLC Weddings if you're interested in a different perspective.
Yeah, they'll take it in the whole like wedding, you know, angle. But we also have lots of sciencey stuff and a lot of stuff on I've mentioned in passing about the diamonds use in drilling for oil. But we have several really good articles dealing with that.
Yes, you can find us on Facebook too if you want to send us crazy pictures of diamonds. The diamond. I don't even know. We've gotten some good pictures lately. I want to encourage this picture sending. Yeah, so you can find us at Steph from the Science Lab, or you can always send us a tweet. LabSteph is our handle on Twitter.
And if you got a good science joke or a really bad science joke, hit it with us, you know, at any of those addresses. Let us know who you are and where you're from, and we'll try and throw it at the top of the podcast.
All right, that's all we got. Shine on, crazy diamond.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.